Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. This Sunday, July 18th at 4 p.m., the Spencertown Academy Arts Center will present beekeeper Sherry Bauer in an online event entitled Symbiotic: Embracing a Life with Bees. The event is presented in collaboration with the Austerlitz Climate Smart Task Force. Earlier this week, I met Sherry and some of her bees at the Twin Spruce Apiary in Coxsackie, New York.
I am what they call a newbie. I grew up on this farm. I lived here on this property for my first 18 years, and this was a hive of activity. I grew up with a group of workaholics. So I picked up a lot by osmosis. I was not in line in the German tradition of inheriting the business, so I did the most logical thing and became a musician.
You are back.
I'm back. My father passed away in 2019. I came back just to settle things up, and beekeepers were taking his hives. He had probably about 300 to 500 left in different yards around the Catskills, and they came to take them away, and I had this physical impulse. I just ran out of the house, and I said, just save me two, and that turned into nine, and I got them through the winter, which is a feat, a great success, and a sign to me that I should grow. So now I have 22.
How do you get more hives? How does the colony grow?
That's a great question, and it's the lovely part of beekeeping and probably one of the most controversial on how to deal with it. A hive reproduces by swarming. And I know I've seen people's posts on Facebook and phone calls, I have a swarm, and that's a great thing. That's when one-third to two-thirds of the colony takes off with the existing queen. They've already started to make another queen. And so they will have, the existing hive will have a new queen, and meanwhile the swarm goes out and scouts for a place to live, which is the most fascinating study by Dr. Tom Seeley, and it's in a great book for called Honeybee Democracy. And they do a Quaker consensus, he has determined.
That's wild.
Yeah, there's so much not known, despite all of the good research, and now with things changing in the climate and all, and they're really adjusting. So I will catch those swarms if I can, if they don't go so high. My mother and I have learned to keep the swarms low by drumming. As soon as we see a swarm, seems to work. I know it's, you know, some people it's hoodoo voodoo, but it does seem to work. And I've seen reputable beekeepers do the same. I'll catch a swarm, or I will split it in the spring if it's done really great. You see that tall hive over, the tallest hive over there, just went gangbusters, and I split the hive. A new hive will make its own queen.
Amazing. Now, when you catch a swarm, you said drumming helps lure them to you. How do you catch a swarm?
It's, the swarm is rather docile. It is not protecting anything. I've seen some people scoop with their hand into a box.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to show, I have some boxes in here. I'll show you.
Let's go in.
I bought these. I'm perfecting my method. So this is a light little box. The last hive I had, I just put it underneath the branch and I shook the bees into this box, and I had a hive all set up with a few frames of comb, and I put it on a tarp, and I just dumped this box onto the tarp, and luckily, if the queen is in there, she usually heads into the box and everyone else follows.
Incredible.
Yeah, they know the queen is a constant. Where the queen bee is a constant.
How labor intensive is it being a beekeeper for you? How many hours a day, average, would you say you spend on it?
I'm thinking about it all day because I'm new at it. And I thought the first year, I'm just going to check them every day. I've devised a method where I can do a Varroa mite count. Varroa mite, or Varroa destructor, is the topic all beekeepers discuss at the bee club meetings, and every hive has this little teeny mite that rides on the between the thorax and abdomen of the bee and lives off their fat body. and it makes a hole in the bee's body and invites all kinds of pathogens in. So you try to keep it down to a very, very low level. If one doesn't, then by October, the mites will take over the hive and the bees will just take off. You might come to a hive and everyone's gone, or they'll just slowly collapse and affect other hives. So I checked these 22 hives every day on this bottom board, so that takes a bit of time. Sure. And now I am learning it's time to do inspections more often, because they were building comb and bringing in honey. Everything gets ramped up with the sun. As the sun gets higher, everyone starts chugging along, and as we get into fall, it will back off until I'm not really dealing much with them at all. So I'm learning this year at the height of summer. Between reading and in checking them out, I'll put in a good work day.
Definitely. But yeah. How do you overwinter them? What is involved in that?
Any topic, no matter how small, has different ways of approaching it. My grandfather and father used to take black tar paper, and they would wrap the hive in the black tar paper to attract the sun, to keep the warmth. I took some old equipment, pieces of inner covers, and I made panels, and I hung them around the hive. I insulated the panels, painted them a nice dark blue.
But you don't move the hives, or do you?
No, I don't move the hive. Some people do move them inside.
Sure.
I mean, there was a time, I'm reading in the old beekeeping books, people moved them into their basement.
Seems a little bit dangerous if it gets warm enough. I don't know.
And they're heavy, yeah. You know. And I'm all for, I'm with the group that wants to keep each hive in their, yeah, in their place. You also can't really, well, in the winter you could, but if I wanted to bring that hive over here, that would confuse the bees. They'll always go back to that space.
Sure.
So the basic rule is you move them 3 feet or 3 miles.
Can we go meet the bees?
Yes. Let's meet the bees. So we got to start with this smoker here.
I have one hand available if that's helpful.
Okay.
Beekeeper Sherry Bauer lit her smoker. We put on our beekeeping veils and walked over to the hives.
So I was told over and over again from older beekeepers is make sure you know what you're going to do when you open a hive and move like a Tai Chi master.
Got it.
You know, they are creatures of air and light. They're very sensitive to it all. So sometimes just when I crack the hive, you'll, in some different areas, you hear them go, ugh,
yeah,
all together.
I bet.
Yeah. And they adjust immediately. They're always keeping the hive in a balance. So first let's look in this inner cover here. There they are. And they're moving pretty slow. Mm-hmm. And they look like they're some really little newbies there, some baby bees. So I'm gonna give them a little puff. I can see there's some new white comb that they're building there.
Yeah. Wow.
And I've set up the frames so they mostly build all their new comb. I don't use a foundation too much.
Right.
I do have some pieces of manufactured foundation, but it's found now that there was a study that the foundation that you start in the frame, it all has pesticides in it now.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. So the whole thing I learned from Chris and Gray is to reduce the amount of stressors. But the wax is so beautiful that they build on their own.
Of course, yeah.
You can manage to keep them in a way where you can inspect it and they don't go crazy. Let's take a look at what they've been building. Actually, right, I'm just going to give them a teeny puff here. So when I first started opening hives, you know, I'd seen my grandfather and father do it. I think the last time I was invited to look at a hive, I have a picture of it. I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
The women did other things around here.
Hmm.
And when I started opening up hives, I said, Mom, you know what? We were never allowed, we never did the fun things.
Yeah, that's too bad.
See this brown? this is their natural antibiotic, this propolis. And if there's a space that they don't want or they want to control the airflow in the hive, they propolyze everything with this glue.
Oh, wow. They insulate it. And
natural antibiotic. You can find it in Tom's toothpaste. I have some frames that I start with just a pole down the center, and I think this next one is.
Sherry, this is so much to keep track of.
I keep notes. Good. You know, sometimes I'll open a hive and I said, oh, I'll remember what it was there. I never remember what was there.
Right. No, I wouldn't.
Mean, vaguely, but so I had to keep track of this. You know, I have to keep track now of these top boxes to see how fast they're building and how fast they're bringing in honey. You know what? Maybe it's better to come around here. Because they have, sometimes they place guard bees at the front.
Okay, sure. No, I don't want to be in the way.
No, there are some guard bees at the front too, will then start buzzing around you and give you a warning. You'll get a warning. So this is comb they've made.
Oh my gosh,
themselves.
It's beautiful.
So this is the part which makes me wonder, at age 58, how much longer I'll be able to do this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, that's heavy.
That's actually a light one. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking for.
This is the brood box, and I'm going to give them a little. Boy, they've really packed that.
Yeah, that's very full of comb.
And there are more bees, so.
Well, the flowers have been so intense this year from all the rain and heat. Does that make a difference to the bees, for the bees? It should, right?
Yeah. And it's really made for a lovely tasting honey, because I've taken a few frames and extracted them. And it has such a complex flavor to it, because there's a variety of plants around here. They were loving, see that tree over there? It's a basswood or linden tree. And we have about 6 of them on the property. But they fly within a 3-mile radius.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a wonderful farm over here where they haven't mowed their fields. They have, and I hope it's like that forever.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I keep trying to convince my husband we shouldn't mow our yard at all, because the bees and the pollinators need. I'm just kidding. We're right in the city. We have to mow it.
But my mother and I get into some intense conversations, because my father was kept everything, what does my friend call it, as a tight green palette. Uh-huh. But I said, let it go, because dandelions are the first big forage. And we did this year. And you can mow and they'll come up again. So we sort of managed that, and she left big patches. And then I also saw morels come up.
Cool.
Some morel mushrooms. And if you don't see bees on them, still keep them out, because when they're tastier plants that they love are gone, they will start working on other things. Yeah, the lawn controversy is... I'm not going to invite you to look at the back of my house, because that's one place I've advocated for my mother. My mother likes to mow.
Uh-huh, I see.
Okay, here we go on this one. And maybe we'll see some brood. All of the brood has hatched here. You don't see the queen on this one either. And that they might be getting ready.
Ready to do which
do,
thing?
This is either going to go in the direction of honey, or the queen's going to start using this to lay eggs.
Okay.
In those empty cells. If it's a sunny day and they're all flying about, I'll still find bees in the hive. And those are mostly the nurse bees. So I'm just going to stay tuned here to see if they're getting a little... excited, or
I can hear them now.
I'm waking them up a little bit. They're really not out and about.
The symmetry of honeycombs is wild. Like the precision. It's an insane fact of nature that they make those. I cannot get over it.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They're, you know, just the right depth for the queen's abdomen to go down and lay an egg. Economy of space.
Don't do anything just because I'm here, if you want to. I mean, I think you're doing all of this just because I'm here, but...
Because I want to just show you some brood here.
Okay.
And you know, brood is what bears are after.
Oh.
That's a very big, quote, pest. I am taking a bit of risk here by not putting up electric fence around my property, because someone told me they saw a bear down on the 9W when you came off the thruway.
Mm-hmm.
My father has had whole yards of bees destroyed, and they're going after the brood. Winnie the Pooh kind of misled us. they're not going after
the honey.
The carbohydrate, which is the honey, yeah. All right, I'm wondering, there's a lot of bees on this frame. And they are... They have a new queen. They've got to pry it. This they've been doing a lot of propolis work here.
Yeah, it's very stuck down by there.
And that's one disadvantage of not wearing gloves, because my hands, I need a manicure. All right.
Wow.
So this is brood. See that? And these are getting ready to hatch. There's actually a lot going on this frame.
Yeah, there's so much. It's totally full. There's tons of bees.
And see those peanut-shaped things here? Cells right here?
Yes.
Those look like they were queen cells. Because they did make their own queen. Last time I was in touch with them, a week ago, and she was active, or is active. So those capped wax areas that they're walking around, that is brood. You can see the little larva in there, the white parts where before they cap it.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's 1 to 3, and I don't have my magnifying glasses on, so I can't tell if there are eggs in there or not. 1 to 3 days for the eggs, 4 to 9 days for the larva, and then they cap it. And then we have to get to day 21 for them to hatch. This one has some unusual looking drones. See the really big, big bees? Can you see with the... Yes.
Yeah, okay.
those are the drones.
Okay.
And they're... the mites love those. So they're kind of a first line of defense for mites. And the bees will kick them out. I'm not going to go in there for the queen today.
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, it's such a, like...
We've already asked so much of them, and I really appreciate it. And you, I appreciate it.
You know, Sarah, I think you have beekeeping in your making here. You get it. And that's where I am with beekeeping. That is really an issue, is how much are we going to do with bees? Since we have some challenges due to monoculture farming, I think commercial beekeeping, I'm learning, is much bigger than I thought it was. It's even affected the world my father was operating in. His hives were all stationary, even though he had at one point the 1,200 hives, but he didn't move them. Now there are more people who tell me they put their hives on back of a truck and they head south. And in the big operations, you know, they have a tractor trailer and they keep the bees in climate controlled facilities. They feed the bees corn syrup. It's about profit. So anything that bees can be used for to gather profit and keep the system that we have going is... I think we're trespassing, personally. I think we're trespassing now to the point of not being sustainable.
Sherry Bauer of Twin Spruce Apiaries in Coxsackie, New York, will lead a Zoom event for the Spencertown Academy Arts Center this Sunday, July 18th at 4 p.m. The talk is entitled Symbiotic, Embracing a Life with Bees, and it's presented in collaboration with the Austerlitz Climate Smart Task Force.
Okay, guys, you were good. Bravo.
Thank you, bees.
Nice performance.
Thank you.
I took some pictures while I visited with Sherry and her bees, and those photos are posted along with this interview at WAMC.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.